Hey everybody, Jeff here. If you've been listening to this podcast or tracking with us on TV for a while, we hope that your move with Andy Stanley has become a resource in helping you make better decisions every day. But today, we're wondering if you have ever found yourself chatting it up with friends on the softball field, over coffee, or around the water cooler about the ideas you hear on your move. If so, maybe it's time to consider inviting some of those people into a circle of better, more meaningful conversation. Conversation that can make their lives and yours better. If you can imagine what that might be like, then you just pictured a Your Move gathering. And there's not a better time for opening up that conversation than in Andy's newest series, How to Get What You Really Want. All you need to do is visit yourmove.is/gatherings. We've got you covered with everything from conversation starters to tips for facilitating your gathering. We hope you check it out because life is better connected. We really do believe that the next 30 minutes will help you make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. So today, we're going to conclude with Andy's last message in his two-part series, Pack Your Bags. Sometimes you know what's coming next. Graduation, a wedding, a new baby, a job, maybe retirement. But there's no correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. In this episode, Andy explains how to prepare for the season ahead.
Hey, I'm super excited about this series, Pack Your Bags. This is a series about how to prepare for what's next, how to get ready for what's next. And hopefully you have something super exciting coming up that's next, and not necessarily next like next week or next month, or maybe not even next year, but there's a new season ahead of you. And this whole series is about how to prepare for what's next. You may have students who are graduating from high school and you're about to send them off to college, or maybe you just graduated and you're about to go off to college, or you're about to start graduate school. Maybe you're planning a wedding. I've learned that women oftentimes start planning the wedding long before they meet anyone to wed. So maybe you've already started planning the wedding. That's okay. Or maybe you've already found someone to wed and there's a wedding, you know, you're planning and you're looking forward to marriage. Maybe you're expecting your first child. Maybe you're expecting a second or a third or another baby. Maybe you're looking forward to a new job. Or maybe you're about to step into your very first real job and you're super excited about that. Maybe you're looking forward to being an empty nester, and that may be a year, or that may be 5 years away, or it might seem like eternity away, but it really is the next season for you. Or maybe it's retirement, and maybe that's the next thing. But the point is, for all of us, there's something next. And we may know a little bit about it, we may know a lot about it, but there's something that's coming up that's next. Now, the challenge with what's next, the challenge with, you know, getting ready for the next season, whatever it might be, is the assumption often is this, that once I know what's next, I am therefore prepared for what's next. The sense I know what's next, I am automatically prepared for what's next just because I know what's next. But that's not true. There's actually no correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. So that's what we've been talking about in this series. How do you prepare for what's next? Because knowing what's next, even if you're looking forward to what's next, doesn't mean you're necessarily prepared for it. Now, this should seem obvious, you know, but it's not. And the proof that it's not obvious is how much more time couples generally spend on preparing for the wedding than they do for the marriage. That's right. And here's the thing. Come on, you can agree with this, right? You've never seen an ugly wedding, but we've all seen some not so pretty marriages. But the assumption is, if I know what's next, I must be prepared for what's next. But there's no necessary correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. So today, I want to teach you a prayer that Sandra and I have been praying, literally, we counted up, for over 25 years. And I'm telling you, this prayer has done more for us to prepare us for the future seasons of life, both the ones we were looking forward to and the seasons that we were most concerned about. Now, the thing that drove us to this prayer, it's a little bit of a negative thing. The thing that drove us to do this, and the reason this became a regular part of our conversation and a regular part of our prayer life, honestly, was watching very smart people make very dumb decisions. And all of you know some very smart people who've made some really dumb decisions. In fact, Some of you are the very smart people who've made some. And the strange thing is about life is this. Isn't this true? And you've seen this happen. Let's just talk about other people for a while because it's not as convicting. Isn't it interesting that a person can be like so smart in business and so smart and or so smart in two or three or four different areas, and then when it comes to relationships, it's like they're just dumb. It's like how can you feel like you're two different people? You know, our IQ relationally sometimes is lower than business, or vice versa, or somebody's so intuitive when it comes to, you know, some skill or something that they've developed, and then some other area like finances. It's like they just don't know how to handle money, and you think, how can you be so smart here and so, I'll be polite, not so smart here? But it's true of all of us. And so watching some really smart people make some really not so smart decisions, it kind of worried us. And so we started thinking, hey, you know, we're not immune to that. We're no exception to that. And we would watch people make, you know, kind of dumb decisions, and we would anticipate how things were going to turn out, and we anticipated they would turn out bad, and then they would turn out bad, and we would think to ourselves and talk about it at home, about them, of course, you know, as we prayed for them, talk about them, saying, and we would think, did they not see this coming? I mean, we saw it coming. Why couldn't they see it coming? And then on occasion, because of the nature of my job, I've had the opportunity to talk to people who I watched make some really bad decisions. And I have asked them, didn't you see this coming? I mean, didn't you see it coming? Weren't there some red flags? Did nobody warn you? And in some cases, people would look at me like they've looked at you and say, no, honestly, I didn't see it coming. Other people would say, well, yeah, to be really honest, somebody did warn me. My mom talked to me. My dad talked to me. Some friends. But you know what? I just thought, yeah, but it'll work out. It'll work out. It'll work out. So, like you, I am a fan of learning from other people's mistakes, okay? So we saw this scenario play out over and over and over, and we decided, you know what? We're not immune to that. I'm not immune to that. I'm smart in some areas, but I'm not smart in every area. So what can we do to make sure that we can see what's coming and are willing to recognize what's coming when sometimes it's hard to see, and in some cases, we just don't want to know. So when I stumbled across this verse, we turned it into a prayer, and we've been praying this really for over 25 years. Now, the verse is found in Proverbs 27, verse 12, and in this verse, I'm gonna walk you through it. In this verse, we are introduced to two different kinds of people, one similar set of circumstances, two different responses to the same set of circumstances with two very different outcomes. You don't need to memorize this. Two different kinds of people, I'll explain both. One similar set of circumstances, two different responses, and two different outcomes. And here's what the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, who was considered the wisest man who ever lived by many, and yet as wise as he was, he didn't take his own advice. In fact, the best way to explain Solomon's failure at the end of his life is to go back and read what he wrote that he didn't apply to his own life. Because he was extraordinarily wise, but at the same time, it's not knowing that makes the difference. Doing makes the difference. In fact, doing is what makes all the difference. It's like paint. If you don't apply it, it just doesn't do any good. Okay, so here's what he wrote, and here's the verse that made such a big difference in our life. And I'm gonna just walk you through it a few words at a time. And it begins this way, the prudent. This is a word we don't use much, but the prudent describes, or the prudent refers to people who are wise. And wise people or prudent people understand that life is connected. There are no unconnected dots in life. There are no isolated events. There are no isolated relationships. Everything is connected. And they understand this interesting equation that the present eventually becomes the past and shows up in the future. This is what prudent people understand. That the present, what's going on right now, will eventually, in fact, will very soon be part of my past, and that the past is a way of showing up in our future. So prudent people or wise people connect the dots. They say things like this, in light of my future hopes and dreams, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing or what is the prudent thing to do right now? Because what I do right now will have impact on my future hopes and dreams. And here's what the text says, the prudent see danger. Now, this is not a Christian thing. This is just a human thing, okay? We see what we are looking for, and we hear what we are listening for. This is true of you. I've never met you, but I know this is true of you. You see what you're looking for, and you hear what you're listening for. The reason I know this is true of you, this is a cognitive thing. This is actually called confirmation bias. You may have studied this in school, or you may have just heard about this. Confirmation bias. Confirmation bias describes or refers to the tendency in all of us to look for information that confirms, confirmation bias, that confirms what we already believe. That if you're committed to something, if you like something, if you're enamored with something, if you've already sort of decided something, you are wide open to information that confirms what you already believe and what you have decided to do. At the same time, there is something in you and something in me that filters out any information or any facts that don't line up with what it is that we want to do or the thing or the direction that we've decided to move in. In other words, we don't look for the downside of things, and we don't look for the downside of people once we've become enamored with the upside. You see what you're looking for. You hear what you're listening for. And this is what sets the prudent person or the wise person apart from the pack. This is the thing that shows extraordinary, extraordinary, extraordinary maturity. This is what most people miss. Because the prudent person is willing to acknowledge what they desperately don't want to see. The prudent person, the wise person, is willing to acknowledge, to admit, to listen to the very thing they don't want to hear. Very, very few people can pull this off. And once they hear what it is they don't want to hear, and once it is they're willing to open their eyes to what they don't want to see, they do something that most people refuse to do. They respond appropriately. The text says this: the prudent, when they see danger, take refuge. That is, when they see, even though it's the thing they didn't want to see, when they listen to the thing that they didn't necessarily want to hear, because they understand that life is connected, they do the appropriate thing. They take refuge. Now, the Hebrew term that's translated refuge here, it's a really interesting little term. It's used to describe a scout who's out ahead of an army. The scout sees danger, runs back to the general or the captain, explains what's ahead, and the army goes into a defensive position because that's the appropriate response to danger. The prudent see, recognize danger, and they take refuge. And then there's a contrast. And Solomon introduces us to the other person in the verse. But the simple. Now, this is such an insult. The other term that's used in the text sometimes is the naive. In fact, there are translations that take this same Hebrew word in other passages in the Old Testament, and they use the word stupid. But the naive, we won't say stupid. We'll just go with simple and naive, which is something none of us want to admit to, which is something none of us want to embrace. No one aspires to this. You know, my goal in life is just to be simple, to be easily taken advantage of, to be easily sold things I don't really need to purchase, to be naive. He says, the prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple, the naive, the simple and the naive are the men and women who live as if, whether they believe it or not, we don't know, who live as if life is not connected, that events aren't connected, that the dots don't connect. The simple or the naive believe that the present becomes the past and it just stays there. That the present becomes the past and, well, that's in the past. That was yesterday. That was that other relationship. Oh, that's what I did then. That's what I did in that previous season of life. But now I'm going to college. There's no way that that's going to follow me into college. Now I'm moving to a different city. That was that city. This is this city. The naive and the simple don't understand that life is connected, or at least they don't acknowledge or live as if life is connected, that the dots connect. So they say things like, well, it's just going to work out. And when somebody tries to help them see what they need to see or get them to hear what they need to hear, well, nothing's gonna happen. I'll be careful. I'll be the exception. Now, in the text, the implication is this. And I say implication because Solomon kind of leaves us to guess, and we don't know if he's saying it's this way or this way, but one of the implications of the text is he's saying, but the simple see the same danger. That is, the prudent see danger, and they take refuge. The simple implication, they see perhaps the same danger. But it's so far down the road. that, you know, I'm not even there yet. I mean, that's so later. I don't need to do anything now. Yeah, I acknowledge that, you know, maybe there's some problems, but that's tomorrow. And didn't Jesus say, don't worry about tomorrow? Are you trying to get me to worry about tomorrow? Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. So I'm not gonna worry about tomorrow. Maybe that's the idea behind this verse. Or maybe what Solomon is saying is this, that the prudent see danger and take refuge, the simple, they just don't see it. I mean, they really genuinely don't see it because they aren't looking for what they don't want to see. They're not listening for what they don't want to hear, because that is, all of us are inclined in that direction. Now, I bet you've had this experience. I've had it many times, again, because of what I do, but I bet you've had this experience. Have you ever tried to point out to someone danger? Have you ever sat down with a friend or a family member or maybe a neighbor or even somebody at work because they kind of opened up a little bit and you said something along the lines of, you know what, if you keep doing A, you can expect B. If you keep spending money that way, if you keep borrowing money that way, if you keep pursuing her like that, if you keep drinking that much, if you keep staying out, if you don't start studying, I mean, have you ever sat down with somebody in school or some environment and tried to help them see that if they continue on the path they're on, there is danger lurking around the corner? And it is so clear to you. In fact, it's not just you. You've sat down with two or three friends to try to talk somebody into something or somebody out of something. And the reason you did that is because you can see, and they listen, and they just walk away, and they, you know, I just don't see it that way. I just don't see it that way. That's just not the way I see it. I've pointed danger out to people a lot of times, and they went ahead, bought it anyway, leased it anyway, dated it anyway, in some cases, married it anyway. And you sit back and go, why can't you see it? Well, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple and the naive, sometimes they really don't see it. And the text says the simple keep going. In other words, there's danger. They need to head for the hills, but they just keep going. They don't head for the hills. They don't change direction. They don't do anything about what it is they've been shown. The very thing, in some cases, that they see. And then by the time the simple see danger, sometimes it's too late. Now, I know this is, I'm supposed to encourage you today, but I just, you know, here's the reality of it. There is, in every arena of life, whether it's money, relationship, marriage, dating, school, academics, you know, and professionally, in every area of life, there is a point of no return. Now, it's not a point of no forgiveness. That's a whole different subject. But there is a point of no return. There is a point that you have gone so far down the path that once you recognize, uh-oh, I should have listened, or uh-oh, I should have explored this, or uh-oh, I should have had my eyes wide open, there is a point where you can't go back and reverse the decision you've made, and you cannot escape the consequences. And you're all adults. You know this. But unfortunately, there are areas of life, because we're so stubborn, because we have filtered out all the information we don't want to hear, we filtered out all the things that we don't want to see. You can wake up one day financially, relationally, professionally, academically, and you've just gone too far. So the writer of Proverbs, the wisest man in the world, says the prudent see danger, and they do something when they see danger ahead. But the simple, the naive, they keep going, and the text says, and they pay the penalty. The version of the scripture that I memorized that I taught my kids was, it says, the simple keep going and they suffer harm. And this isn't divine punishment. This is just cause and effect. This is simply the natural but avoidable consequences of decisions that could have been stopped, that could have been reversed, but because they wouldn't see or because they couldn't see, they continued and they got themselves in trouble. Because the truth is, you know this, right? There are some situations that if left unattended, there are some arenas of life that if left unattended, they become so complicated that there aren't any good options. If you have 4 maxed out credit cards, a mortgage, and a couple of car payments, that is not the time to think about getting on a budget. You've passed that point, right? If you are 65 or older and you think, you know, I really need to start saving for retirement, I have some bad news. It's gonna be really, really challenging. You will probably have to work until you're the very last day of your life, right? If you're gonna eat and live indoors. Pregnant. Pregnant is not the time to reassess the relationship. And once you've stepped across that line that you told yourself you'd never step across, once you stepped across that line that friends had warned you about, once you stepped across that line and you're actually in an actual affair, that is not the time to start working on your marriage. The prudent see danger and they take refuge, they do something. But the simple, they just keep going. And by the time they realize, oh no, it's too late. And they suffer for it. Just real quick, prudent people evaluate relationships based on where they are headed. Prudent people, wise people, always, always, always evaluate every relationship based on where the relationship is headed, because all relationships are headed somewhere. Your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, every relationship. And the prudent people understand this relation is moving in a direction. What direction is it moving in? How do I need to respond? Naive people evaluate relationships based on where they stand currently. The prudent see danger and they do something. It's the simple that just keep going and ultimately suffer for it. So let's put it all together. The prudent see danger and they take refuge. The simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now, everybody looking up here? Look up here. Look. This should scare the confirmation bias out of us. This should worry you. This should make you nervous, because you are not immune. And there is something next on the horizon of your life. And hopefully it's something you're looking forward to. But simply because you know what's next doesn't mean you're prepared for what's next. And one of the best ways you can prepare for what's next is to decide, I'm gonna live as if life's connected. I'm gonna live as if the present becomes the past that ultimately shows up in the future. And when I see what I don't want to see, and when I hear what I don't want to hear, I'm going to do something with what I see and with what I hear. If you choose to go this route, there are four words that are going to describe your experience. And then I'm going to give you this prayer. The four words are these. First, the word is action. You got to do something, not hope something, and not just pray something. In fact, once you see trouble, God's work is done. It is now up to you to respond appropriately. The second word is sacrifice. If you choose to live like a wise person or a prudent person, there's gonna be a sacrifice. You're gonna have to sacrifice potentially relationally. You may have to sacrifice part of your reputation because people aren't gonna understand why you live the way you live and why you do what you do. You may have to sacrifice some resources. The third word is embarrassment, because this will not make sense to some of the people who are close to you. And the reason it won't make sense is you're not responding to what is, you're responding to what could be. You will be misunderstood and you probably won't have an opportunity to explain yourself. And the fourth word is the word relief, because nobody regrets taking refuge. Nobody regrets responding to what they hear. Nobody has regrets when they respond to what they see. So when you see trouble coming, don't ignore it. Do something. So years ago, I memorized this verse, taught it to our kids, Sandra memorized it, and we began praying it. So I'm just gonna give you our prayer. It's an us prayer. And then I'm gonna give you the you version. So here's the prayer. This, and the grammar isn't great, but this is exactly how we've been praying this for over 25 years. Here's our prudent prayer. Heavenly Father, help us see trouble coming long before it gets here. And then give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Heavenly Father, help us see trouble coming long before it gets here. Help us to see trouble in our marriage. Help us to see trouble financially. Help us to see trouble professionally. Help us to see trouble with our kids. Help us to see trouble with our kids' friends. Help us to see, Father, in any area of life, we want our eyes to be wide open. We want our ears to be wide open. Heavenly Father, help us see trouble coming long before it gets here. And then give us the wisdom to know what to do about what we see, and then give us the courage to actually do it. Here's the personal version of the prayer. Heavenly Father, help me see trouble coming. Help me see trouble coming long before it gets here. And then give me the wisdom to know what to do and give me the courage to do it. Now, my friends, I just want you to know, God answers this prayer. God answers this prayer. In fact, for some of you, I can prove God answers this prayer because you haven't even prayed it yet, and you're nervous about praying it because you already know the answer to the prayer. How about that? You look at this, and this is so threatening because there is something that you have tried your best not to see, and you're thinking, if I start praying this prayer, the thing I've tried not to see, the thing I've tried not to hear is going to be front and center, and then what am I going to do? And that is the question. If you start praying this prayer, I promise God will answer it, and it's so threatening. But ultimately, it is so liberating. So, here we go. When you think about what's next, when you think about what's next, whether it's that job, that school, that opportunity, whatever it might be, when you think about what's next, are there any red flags? Are there any concerns? Any concerns about that roommate, about that new hire? Any concerns about the culture of that office? And you're so excited about the job and you're so excited about the money, but there's something about the culture and you've just tried not to bring that front and center. Anything that's gnawing at you in terms of your personal finances or something you're about to do or something you're being tempted to do or something someone has suggested that you do? Anything with your kids? Maybe your kids' friends? Any red flags? So between you and you, in other words, you don't have to tell anybody this. I'm not even asking you to confess it. You don't even have to say it out loud. But just in this moment, because I have your undivided attention, maybe your Heavenly Father has your undivided attention, just between you and you, is there something you're trying desperately not to see? Is there something that you're working hard not to hear? Because now is the time to take refuge. Now is the time to do something. Now is the time to break up. Now is the time to quit. Now is the time to let him or let her go. Now is the time to change your number. Now is the time to cut up those cards. Maybe now is the time that you get yourself a counselor. Because now is better than later, and now will make later better. Is there anything you are trying desperately not to see? Anything you're trying desperately not to hear? The prudent see what there is to see. The prudent hear what needs to be heard. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going. And they pay the penalty. They suffer harm. So would you begin praying every day? It doesn't have to be my version of the prayer. It can be your version of the prayer. Would you begin to pray every day some version of this verse? Heavenly Father, help me see trouble. Help me see trouble coming long before it gets here. And give me the wisdom to know what to do. And give me the courage to do it. Heavenly Father, help me see trouble coming long before it gets here, and then give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. And if you will begin to pray that prayer, and students, if you'll begin to pray that prayer, and for those of you in any transition, if you'll begin to pray that prayer, God will answer that prayer, and you will be better prepared for whatever is next.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's Your Move podcast. Also, we hope you'll visit yourmove.is/gatherings to learn more about what it could look like to start a Your Move gathering within your personal sphere of friends or acquaintances. Because life is better connected.